A murder case has been registered in Madhya Pradesh after a 65-year-old mentally ill man was found dead, and a video emerged showing him being brutally assaulted. In this video, an assailant can be seen asking the senior citizen if his name is Muhammad and then repeatedly thrashing him as he struggles to answer. A case has now been registered in the Neemuch district. The attacker in this video has been identified as Dinesh Kushwaha. He has been named as the main accused. Kushwaha is the husband of a former BJP corporator. The State Home Minister Narottam Mishra says that a case has been registered under sections of murder and death by negligence. The opposition has slammed the ruling BJP after this video surfaced. The Congress MLA Jeetu Patwari has accused the BJP of lighting a furnace of hate. The state BJP secretary, Rajneesh Agarwal, says the incident is unfortunate. An accused is an accused. It has nothing to do with party politics. None of the people involved in such an act will be spared by the state government. So, is your name Muhammad? A 65-year-old slapped 14 times dies. Will this hate spare no one? That's the question tonight. Is your name Muhammad? That's the accusation here. Is that the charge here? It seems to be. And a 65-year-old is slapped at least 14 times. That's at least from what we can see captured in this video alone. Will this hate spare no one? Is it possible to dial back? We'll try and get Jitender Patwari, the working president of the Madhya Pradesh Congress. We have Professor Gobardhan Das, the BJP leader, professor at JNU, and Sabha Naqvi, author and senior journalist. And we also have Tehsin Poonawalla joining us, a political expert and political analyst who supports the Congress. Professor Das, to you first. You've seen this video. Elderly man, visibly petrified, confused, at one point offers money to stop the barrage of blows because he's confused why he's being hit. This infuriates the attacker. He slaps him nonstop. Family goes to the police, demands his arrest. What is going on in Madhya Pradesh? A man now lynched on the suspicion of being a Muslim?
Good evening, Sharah. Good evening, my fellow panelists. See, this is a very unfortunate incident, and I, from myself, and I condemn this incident, and this should not have happened. And in future also, this should not have happened. In any case, this should not be tolerated.
Mr. Das, period. How did we get here, sir?
Yeah.
How have we arrived at this position? In Rajasthan, 2017, you had that Shambhulal Ragar. He was hacked and burnt alive a Muslim laborer. He was given an election ticket to fight the Lok Sabha election.
See, Shara, if you bring that all these incidents together, I can list the hundreds of them. Actually, you know, they are can remember, how about Harsha? How about Kishan Bhamwar, Paresh Prakash Lonaware in 2020 Palghar incidents, August 25th, 2018,
so what are you...
or district incident. If you see, if you look at these are, it's not only this one side, is almost everywhere it is happening. It's not the incidents. But once again,
almost everywhere it is happening, sir. That is the problem. And who is responsible? Will anyone be held accountable is the question.
Let me finish. Union
minister, Anurag Thakur. He was banned from campaigning for 72 hours. He was caught on camera encouraging a slogan. He's saying, Desh ki gaddaro ko, and he's urging the audience to respond. We all know how they responded. Is that why we're here today?
Minister is in Kans.
But now Mr. Jain is dead.
That kind of
minister to kaam pe baithe
hai. That kind of statement or this kind of incidences, no matter from which party and which community comes, is absolutely not permissible. It is condemnable. I condemn. Number one. Number two. If you are trying to cherry pick some of the incidents, which is incorrect.
I'm not cherry picking, sir. We are not cherry picking. You are saying, hold on, let me get in the other panelists. Sabha Naqvi, please come in over here. We have Mr. Das saying that incidents like this happen across the board, across parties, and we are cherry picking. But is it not true that of, you know, the total number of MPs and MLAs with declared cases of hate speeches against them, the majority are from the BJP? At least that is what the ADR report has said recently in 2018. Since then, we've seen so many elections and we've heard this kind of dehumanizing of a certain community. And is that why we've reached where we have tonight?
To get to your original question that why does this happen? So let's understand, Sarah, it's a good, in India, we also had a lot of caste atrocities. We had a very strong law against, if you do something inhuman to a Dalit, not that it stopped, it happens, but there is very strong punishment. Hmm. Instead, what is happening when it comes to minorities now, many of, I'm not saying in this incident, the guy is not turned out to be, not to be a Mohammed. He's turned out to be a Jain. So there will be greater articulation by the regime in Madhya Pradesh. But there is rewards for those who make hate speeches. Mm. There is reward. The whole model, analytical model, is that we benefit from hate speech. So in, and plus now you have the video camera. So there are people, you know, such as the head priest of the Dasna temple and so on, who have become acquired fame by asking for genocide against minorities. There have been people who have stood there and said Muslim women should be raped and impregnated. All of this has been done. It's been recorded. And so you have this because there is no real punishment and there is indeed a reward in some ways. That is why these incidents are getting out of hand. But to say that have we suddenly become... we are living in the age of video cameras. Certainly, I would agree that there are different kinds of crimes also, but that this is not a rash. Everybody can see that we can. There is a rash of these kind of hate crime, Muslims being thrown out, being accused of being spitters. Yep. You know, vegetable markets, boycotts, all of that is being openly called for. Nobody gets punished. They get bail in no time.
Nobody gets punished. And then we're always told, you know, there's also the other side, Palghar, which the case Professor Das brings up was not even a hate crime in the end. But Tehsin Poonawalla, you have a Frankenstein's monster that has been created. It then takes a life on its own and then it's impossible to tame. We're seeing the outcome of years of like, you know, dehumanizing, criminalizing an entire community.
Good evening, Sarah. Good evening to you, to the fellow panelists, and to all your viewers. There are three points I want to put essentially before your viewers. Look, when I went to Supreme Court against this kind of lynching, the Honorable Supreme Court was very categorical in its judgment that it gave me that we need a specific law for lynching, which we had presented to the Honorable Supreme Court. It praised it. It was called the Masuka Law. Subsequently, on orders of the Honorable Supreme Court, I went to the then Union Home Secretary to incorporate these orders. The Union Home Minister, current Union Home Minister, Mr. Amit Shah, stood up in Parliament and said India does not need these laws, despite the fact the Supreme Court has said this. So Sabha is right. Who benefits from this hate? Number two, states which have passed the lynching law, states like Rajasthan, Jharkhand, West Bengal, the honorable governors of those states have still not signed the law. And this is obviously, we know that the center is asking them not to sign it. So one, there is a BJP hand that it benefits from this hate. I want to put one more thing out in front of your viewers. If you think that the most amount of lynching is of Muslims, you guys are wrong. In the data that we gave the honorable courts, the most amount of lynchings is of transgender and is of women. Women are lynched often by them being called witches so that their properties can be taken. Transgenders are happening. And there is a political benefit that political party, mostly the BJP, tends to get from both the polarization and the lynching. Mm. So now the only subsequent question is this. Why doesn't the BJP leader on your show put his money where his mouth is, the JNU professor, and say we will follow the Supreme Court judgment, Amit Shah ji is wrong, and we will pass a law, and states that have passed a law, we will ask the governors to sign it. Why is this not happening?
Mr. Das, can you respond? Who stands to benefit? Mostly the BJP when you are first beaten to death on the suspicion of hoarding beef.
I mean,
then on the suspicion, sir, hear my question out, suspicion of love jihad. No law, mob rules. You have the husband of a BJP corporator involved in this. Who stands to win?
Okay. This kind of incidents is unfortunate. Nobody is benefited out of it. Tehsin is a very well-known individual he should not comment like this. This such kind of incidents is unfortunate and is a condemnable, and is nobody benefits out of it. And basically, if you look at very carefully, just recently, because I just came back from this West Bengal election, this is hundreds of murders. And this is, if you look at the hundreds of murders, if anybody benefited, is benefited TMC, Trinamool Congress. And this is not the true that the BJP is benefited. In fact, I would like to mention very clearly that nobody in such incident, unfortunate, as nobody's benefited out of it.
Sarah, may I make a submission? A quick submission, Sarah. First of all, Professor, thank you for your kind words about me. But I just have two things to tell you. Even if I were to absolutely agree that lynching happens all across the country, what we are saying is from West Bengal to Gujarat, from Kashmir to Kerala, there must be no lynching. No one should be lynched. So why don't you pass a union law as the Supreme Court has directed? Number two, sir, in no other state in the country have lynchers been felicitated like your Minister Jayant Sinha felicitated convicted people of lynching, or Mahesh Sharmaji wrapped a tricolor around those who were accused of lynching. In every other state, they haven't been felicitated. So I'll just take 10 seconds more. Even in the capital, sir, the people who tried to lynch Arvind Kejriwalji, the chief minister of Delhi, by going to his house, were felicitated in the official BJP office. Now, I am asking you, Professor, with humility, which other political party felicitates lynchers except for your party? Can you please tell us, sir? Today, let the viewers know.
I'm quite clear, Mr. Das, you will not be able to tell us that because nobody else has done it. Sabha, last word to you before we move on to the political debate over petrol prices.
Look, this is becoming a real shame for India, and we cannot compare the culture of political violence. I just want to say that, and Bengal has it. It happened between the communists and the Congress. We cannot compare political violence with individual lynchings of people based on their identities. There is a very clear distinction that is based on political loyalty, and nobody doubts that the Bengal model is shocking. Nobody doubts that state culture of violence is shocking. I'm not even making any. I've known it. I started my career in a Bengal paper. I have not seen that level of political culture of violence. However, this is entirely different phenomena where this man, as you started, is your name, Mohammed. That is what it's all about. We cannot get away from that. We are supposedly a secular democracy. We are one of the most successful post-colonial nations which have succeeded in our democracy. And we are damaging ourselves by allowing this. This is one of the world's largest Muslim population. Constant barrage of crimes with their contemporary lives, with their hostility, with the speeches, with hate speeches. And what does it reveal about us? It's shameful.
Mr. Das, in a state, there's a case that's been filed now because the family went to the courts. But will anybody be held accountable in this case? In this case, because he's not a Muslim, will somebody be held accountable? The Home Minister says the person was from the Jain community. He was an elderly person. He couldn't identify himself properly. If he had identified himself, he would have been fine? 30 seconds, sir.
Irrespective of who it is, it should be punished. It should be period. Number one, let me finish. Number one, the person should be punished. That's according to law. As per law, that he will be punished. Number two, Shaba and our Tashin, what they are trying to say, this is yes, we all agree today. This is not something related to political thing. So, but you are the one which is trying to, the BJP is benefited, somebody is benefited. It's not that. Let us agree in the issue. This kind of things is unfortunate. If the person should be punished. Right?
Well, I don't know. All of us should have trouble sleeping tonight after looking at this video. And we should ask ourselves, will this hate consume us all? Will our children go up thinking that it's okay to hit, it's okay to kill, thinking it's okay that some humans are more human than others, more equal than others in our country? Perhaps we need to step up our resistance to the politics of hatred before it is really no longer possible to dial back. Thank you so much, Sabah Naqvi. I know you have to leave now, but I want to go across both our other panelists. Please, you're staying on with us. Thank you for that. The big story, of course, of the day that also affects each and every one of us, the price of petrol will now come down by 9 rupees. Per litre. The price of diesel will be cheaper by 7 rupees per litre as Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman announced a sharp cut in the central excise duty on fuel prices amid spiraling inflation. The central excise duty on petrol has been cut by 8 rupees per litre, the same on diesel cut by 6 rupees per litre, said Ms. Sitharaman. The Prime Minister has tweeted that it's always people first for us. After the centre cuts fuel prices, the Congress is doing the math, though. They are hitting back. They're saying this reduction is too little to matter, and they've accused the center of fooling the people. So tonight we're asking the single biggest price cut by the center. Inflation worries finally forces the government's hand as the center gets hit by dissent. Mr. Das, to you, government finally getting hit by price dissent. Now, so you have LPG fertilizer outreach to the Aam Aadmi, to the farmers, etc.
See, once again, good evening. I would like to, bring 2 points. Today, if you look at the fuel price in India, probably if you look, compare with the China, USA, Australia, UK, so probably we are running the lowest. This evening, I was trying to compare China today. This is 1 hour back. The price was equivalent to 115 rupees, 62 paisa. USA, which is $5.60, which is equivalent to 120 rupees per liter. The Pakistan is 160 rupees, UK 159 rupees, and the Australia is 109 rupees. Till today, the India, what we have, 105 rupees per liter, and we are cutting back once again 8 or 9 rupees. So we are still the lowest. The fuel price is high. Is not the Indian phenomena, is a global phenomena. And that's because, remember, we have gone through the extended lockdown.
So nobody COVID is period. Arguing
just
that
one second,
this is a just problem
COVID
globally.
COVID period, and we had to deal with 1.3 billion population. We had to deal with 1.9 billion doses of vaccines. And India is leading today in the world. Our economy is doing the best. More than $600 billion.
Mr. Das, you have stated the obvious that everybody knows that for 2 months now, since the start of the year, inflation has been rising
unicorns.
Because of global consequences, because of the Ukraine war, because of the price. But can we get to the point? Why the cuts? Why now? And is it enough? I want to first, Tehseen, before I go across to you, I just want to go across to the TMC MP, Sugata Roy, who has just tweeted saying it is not good enough as the increased price of petrol and diesel by central government still has the flexibility to reduce excise duty more instead of pressurizing the states as the states' finances are mostly in difficulty. TMC MP, Sugata Roy, what do you mean by this? What is the problem? Why is it not enough?
Shara, I'll just
it
take
is too
10
little,
seconds.
Too
I'm
little
sorry.
And too late. Because the reduction is only
the TMC people should not.
Petrol.
Mr. Das, hold on. Mr. Das, you need to let him speak. Mr. Das.
The state government, the central government had increased prices by 10 rupees for both in recent times. So it has not even come back to that level. And the center still has flexibility in their finances. They can reduce the excise duty on petrol and diesel further. This is too little and too late.
Too little, too late. Tehseen Poolawala, please come in over here. It's also now looking like it's going to become a political battle between the center versus the state, because we're hearing the ministers now turning the heat on the states. You have Nirmala Sitharaman, whether it's the Minister of Petroleum and Natural Gas, Hardeep Singh Puri, all of them raising the pitch, saying that some states are refusing to reduce prices.
So I'll answer that question specifically, but please allow me to just put on a couple of statistics before your esteemed viewers. The esteemed panelist professor on the show said that, look, he compared the rates of USA, China, Australia, along with India. All of their per capita income and the economies are larger than India. So, I mean, I find that ridiculous, per capita income. And then he said Pakistan is 162 rupees. What is the rate of the Pakistani rupee versus the Indian rupee? In Indian rupee term, that is less than 70 rupees. So here is a professor who's making up statistics the way it suits the BJP, almost like the prime minister makes up his stories. But there's the more important and pertinent point that I want to bring in front of your viewers. The union government in these past 6 years, I'm not talking about 8 years, 6 years, has earned close to about 25 lakh crores. I'm only talking about the union government from petrol and diesel taxes. Where has that money gone? Why has that money disappeared? And that money's gone in our vaccines. This 25 lakh crore gone in our vaccines. So why do we have the prime minister's pictures on our vaccines? I don't want to get into that debate. There is a second point that I want to ask. If they could reduce 9 rupees today or or whatever amount that they reduced today, why couldn't they reduce it when the opposition was guiding them, telling them when inflation was rising, we would have controlled inflation had they listened to the opposition then? And to my third question, a very specific question. You want states to reduce money. I am in the greatest state of Maharashtra that pays the highest GST revenue to the union government. You owe my state 27,000 crore rupees as of today. When are you giving our money so the states can reduce? Why are you holding our money? Why don't you give the states GST? Can you answer these three questions very specifically without whataboutry, Professor?
Mr. Das?
Yeah, okay. Let me tell you some of the facts. So, well, the fuel price is going up. It's not, this is the Indian phenomenon. It's a worldwide phenomenon. This is number one, true. And to respond to your question, the Pakistani price, I'm talking about equivalent to Indian rupee. Don't misunderstand. Wait. If this is my time. Please allow me to speak. Second thing is, you know, your Congress government actually issued the fuel bond, and that fuel bond, the BJP government had to repay back. So basically, who is damaging? Your Congress government. And the highest, if you look at the trend during the Congress government period, the highest trend in fuel price. Just coming back to the Mr. Subrata Chatterjee or somebody from TMC, TMC, the guy, he says, this is not enough. And the West Bengal is one of the state. They refuse to reduce the fuel price. Number one. And what they are doing, if you look at the current trend today, they are, education minister in CBI. There are many people are in knocking at a CBI door. This is they are the most corrupt, and they are surviving on cut money, and people do not want to see their face. They should hide their face by shame. It's a shame.
We are completely out of time, unfortunately. We are completely out of time. Thank you for joining us on both these debates tonight. The question is this actually going to bring relief for the Aam Aadmi? Over the past few weeks, we have seen prices jump across the board for vegetables like tomatoes, lemons. All of it is, will the prices of all of this come down? Will we feel relief in our pockets when we go to the markets to get basic requirements for our loved ones? That's the question we're asking tonight. Thank you all for joining us on Left, Right and Center.